I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Roger Grimes, data-driven defense evangelist for KnowBefore, the world's first and largest new school security awareness training and simulated phishing platform that helps you manage the ongoing problem of social engineering. To learn more about KnowBefore, visit knowbefore.com. Roger, welcome back. Great to be speaking with you today.
Yes, glad to be here, as always.
Yes, absolutely. And Roger, for today, I want to talk to you about a topic that we've spoken about before, and it, you know, vulnerabilities exist with multi-factor authentication. You even wrote the book, Hacking Multi-Factor Authentication, which for anyone interested is available on Amazon. And in doing so, in writing that book, you reviewed over 150 different MFA solutions. Today, I want to continue that conversation because I saw on LinkedIn earlier this week that you posted an article titled, Why is the Majority of MFA So Phishable? And so piqued my interest. I read the article. I really enjoyed it. But Roger, I'd love for you to start off this episode by telling our audience more about that article you wrote and why and what's going on.
Thank you so much, Hiller. And I tell you what, I write a lot. I write like 2 to 4 articles a week, but only a couple times a year am I really like, oh my God, that was the right thing at the right moment. What I realized, and like you said, I've been living in this world of MFA and hacking MFA for years now, was that the vast majority, so the whole reason we're telling the world, and this year has got to be the year of everybody going to MFA. I mean, it's just exploding. Google's requiring it. Microsoft's getting ready to require it. And just going everywhere, right? Everybody's buying MFA. It's the year of MFA. Well, the whole reason we're being told to move to MFA is to stop phishing attacks. You know, the average one being, hey, send me your password. And if you don't have a password, you can't be phished. And let me say to everyone before I start denigrating MFA, that everybody should go to MFA. I mean, it significantly reduces some types of attacks. I hate the vendors. It stops 99% of all attacks. That is not true. That is a lie. That is people not understanding the data. It probably stops 25 to 30% of the attacks, or 35%, I don't know. But you should go to MFA. And the whole reason, again, we're being told to go there is that it stops easy phishing attacks. Well, it came to me that the vast majority of MFA that everybody's being sold is easily phishable. And it came to me, let me say, the U.S. government published a memo. So a month or two ago, Joe Biden put out executive order. I forget the number, but that executive order said, hey, go out and do this. And part of it was implement zero trust. And it was actually it was a really good executive memo for cybersecurity. Like you, every time you read an executive order in cybersecurity, you want to go ho-hum. But this one was better. It didn't have the number one thing that's necessary, which is mandatory compliance. And it turns out in America, you cannot ask for anything to be mandatory except for hairnets. But so our cybersecurity rules are always voluntary. But in the executive order, it had really a lot of really good stuff in it. And CISA is leading the way. And I really love the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency and its director, Jen Easterly. I think it's the best government agency trying to fight cybersecurity crime in the world ever. It's really a fantastic organization. So in this, it said you have to do zero trust. Well, they put out just a week or two ago a clarification memo adding more details around the requirements. And one of the requirements that really caught my eye was you should not use easily phishable MFA. And what they defined as easily phishable was voice-based MFA, SMS-based MFA, one-time password-based MFA, and push-based MFA. That, let me say, I know that. I've known that. I was amazed the U.S. government knew this and was saying don't use it, because here's the startling part. It's probably, they probably described 80, 90% of all MFA used today. And the U.S. government is trying to prohibit it. And there are these huge pushes from the largest vendors, Microsoft, Google, and that sort of stuff. And let me say, they all have non-phishable MFA, but the solutions that they are pushing as fast as candy on Halloween are the most phishable solutions. And so we're setting up everyone to make this massive mandatory migration to MFA, and the vast majority of it is as easily phishable as passwords. And they're some of the largest case scenarios or like push base 1FA. They call it MFA, but it's really 1FA. They call it password. Anytime you see passwordless, that means there's a good chance it's not MFA. It's not multi-factor. It's single factor that they're hoping people thinks is multi-factor. And some of these large solutions are single factor push-based solutions where when you log in as you go, are you logging in? Yes or no? You know, approve right. or deny. And it turns out that a large percentage of anybody's end users will approve that prompt even when they are not actively logging in. Like this one Midwest, I think I covered this a week or two ago, but this one Midwest CISO approved over 20 times logins coming from Russia for his login. And when they asked him, why did you do that? He said, well, you told me anytime it came up to hit approve. Well, he either wasn't told that, hey, if it's not you logging in, hit deny and report it to IT, or he was told that and it didn't really catch in his head. But I bet it's the former. When I talk to people, like you're trying, imagine you've got everybody on passwords and now you're going to push them out some MFA solution.
Right.
They're complaining. Yep. They're mad. It's totally expensive. You're just trying to get it done. You're like, this is how it works. Just hit approve. And you would think the average person would know, if I'm not logging in, don't approve. But it turns out some percentage of our population doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That actually, I can understand that now. Ugh. Yes. Well,
so it's just amazing, right? I mean, I feel like, and I ended that article with what I think is one of my best endings ever in my career. It's got to be in my top 10 out of 34 years of writing. But I was like, we're almost selling everybody this guaranteed to fail bill of goods. Mm. And all we're going to do is make them be madder at us because they're doing what we told them to do. And they're not going to be that much better protected because we've just moved them from being phished for passwords to phished around their MFA credentials. And they've gained nothing after all that hard work and expense. We need to do better. And what we need to do is use less phishable forms of MFA.
What are those, Roger? What should we be doing?
And let me say, there's not that many.
Yeah.
that's probably the bad part. Let me say, every MFA can be phished. It's, you know, but there are some that are more resilient against phishing than others, like FIDO. If you know the FIDO, that's Fast Online ID. I just went to a conference in Seattle a couple of days ago, where it was a FIDO kind of conference, and every vendor there are dozens, they have FIDO solutions. And FIDO, it requires that the device you're using be registered to each and every website or service that's going to use FIDO, and that FIDO service or website has to be registered to your device. And there are ways to phish it, but it is significantly harder to do, less likely to do. So FIDO 2.0. FIDO or FIDO 2.0, and it's an alliance. FIDO is an alliance, and Microsoft and Google and Yubico, the YubiKeys. That's just it. Most of these major vendors support FIDO, and they have FIDO implementations, MFA implementations that are not easily phishable. They are not the solutions that are selling most popularly. And part of the reason is that FIDO has got to be one of the most confusing specifications I've ever read in my life. I've been reading it for what seems like 10 years now. It's probably only been 7. But every time I look at the specification, it takes me a while to figure out what they're talking about. Relying party this. And you've got to have a server on site, which is not so, like if I want to have Google Authenticator authenticating my network, I've got to have a Google Authenticator server. It's not that unusual.
Okay.
But FIDO, if I go to FIDO 2.0, I've got to have one or more servers and I've got to implement this and update my code and all this stuff versus, hey, I can use a one-factor push-based authentication. It just kind of works.
Mm.
You know, it's the forever problem with security is that the easier it is, the less secure it is. So that, or let me go, like I every time I give a speech about hacking MFA, I always have somebody that's into biometrics and they hate me because I'm not a big fan of biometrics for a lot of reasons, including if someone steals your biometric attribute, good luck. They have it forever.
Right.
And all my fingerprints have been stolen at least once by Chinese advanced persistent threat. And my wife's fingerprints were stolen. Everybody that had applied for government computer security clearance before up into 2015 had all 10 fingerprints stolen. And once they're stolen, how can any system that relies upon my fingerprint know that it's me, right? It's just insane. What am I, I'm going to do an Al Capone, get my fingerprint sandblasted or something. But so people go, Roger, you got to love biometrics. And then I ask them, can your biometric solution be easily phished? Almost none of the biometric vendors understand that question. Let me say this again. The whole reason we're using MFA is to prevent phishing. None of the biometric vendors can tell me if their solution can be phished around. And let me go further. All the ones that tell me that they can't be phished around are wrong. And that's the problem, is that even the people in charge don't know whether it can be phished around. But if they were to talk to me or other hackers and pen testers, I can tell them. I'm like, hey, can I redirect, if someone's got biometrics, can they be redirected to a fake website that then redirects them to the real website? And if the answer is yes, you're easily phishable. That's just one of the ways. But if I can, that means I can send someone an email, trick them to going to my website that looks like your website. And then if they then biometrically authenticate to get in, the hacker's man in the middle proxy is just going to proxy your fingerprint authentication acceptance to that service, let them in, and then the attacker grabs the access control token and it's game over. Mm. And let me say, that's the vast majority of biometrics. So it's like the entire industry. And let me, it's amazing because I'm talking about this to all these people at the conference, and a lot of people said, Roger, best talk at the conference, loved it. Thank you. You know, this is amazing. A lot of people are like, oh my God. Like, as a matter of fact, so I've given this talk about this man in the middle proxy attack, and I have a video that's made by Kevin Mitnick. He's a KnowBefore's chief hacking officer.
Yeah.
And he's made a ton of videos where he's hacking MFA and building access entry cards and stuff. But there's this, he has a bunch of these videos where he just sends a fake email. He, as the victim and the attacker, he tricks the victim into going to fake website. The fake website looks identical to the real website because it's just proxying the information between client and server to client. And whenever I show that video to regular audiences, I got to tell you, 99% of the people are sitting there with their mouth open because I've just showed them how easily their MFA solution can be passed, you know, bypassed. And I was surprised that when I was presenting this to a bunch of 100 different MFA vendors, how many open mouths I saw.
Really?
It was almost identical to the regular end users. Like, and let me say, to be fair, a lot of those people were salespeople and they weren't technicians and stuff, but still, it means there's a lot of awareness that needs to occur because the vendors themselves are not even familiar with whether they can be easily phishable. So the US government's like, don't use easily phishable MFA. And Hillary, you're a genius because you asked me, what is easily phishable? Do you know, Roger? I do. But most people don't. And so they're buying, let me say again, 80, 90% of MFA solutions are easily phishable. You should not use easily phishable MFA, which is the vast majority of the stuff being sold, but almost no one knows the difference.
Right. I wouldn't know the MFA that I get all of those, you know, SMS one time, push based. I get all that stuff all the time.
And if you get a code in an app or on SMS, easily phishable. Like, are you ready? The wildest one is one, and this is not theoretical. This is real. So if you get some code, Google Authenticator, Microsoft Authenticator, some number that pops up on your app that you then input, you know, or SMS that you then input. A really easy scam is for me to send you either an email or a SMS message saying like, hey, Hillary, would you like to be in the tornado early warning program? We've pre-enrolled you. Type yes to be enrolled or no to stop. And then if you go yes, I say as the attacker, I'm going to send you an enrollment code. Please return. Please type in the enrollment code. I then go to your account that has account recovery. Tell it I lost your password. Tell it I need a recovery code. It sends you the code.
Right.
You then type that code in response to that message, thinking that you think it's an enrollment code, but it's really a recovery code. It doesn't, when they send it to you, it just goes, Google, here's your Google code.
Right.
It doesn't say your account's being recovered. And so you type it in. And let me say, this is not theoretical. The Google released a paper a day or two ago. I don't know when this is being broadcast, but they released it recently about nation state attacks. And they said since 2017, one of the most common attacks is nation states creating fake accounts in Twitter and Facebook and then saying hello to the victims. And in this case, they were talking about it was security researchers like myself. And so these fake personas say hello. They're usually good looking men or women. They're trying to throw the sexual attraction thing in there.
Yep.
I'm always any woman that seems overly attractive on anything that connects to me, I immediately assume is a Russian spy. So it's easy for me. But I'm like, I'm sorry. Do you realize who you're connecting to? You're obviously in the wrong form. But the Google said that they would establish trust. So they'd say hello to them. They'd be nice. They talk about what great research you do, blah, blah, blah. So they had this, what we call pretexting, establishing trust. Mm. Then they would come back and go, hey, would you like to attend or speak at this computer security conference? And the person would, yes, send me details. They'd send them a link that took them to a website that looked beautiful, was all about this security conference, couldn't wait to attend. And then like, oh, click here with the OAuth authenticate. Are you going to log in with Facebook, Twitter, Microsoft, whatever, you know? And when they click it, it automatically resets the account on that service, sends them a recovery code, and the website says, please type in your registration code. They registered, and the site took over the password. It's all automated. Oh. It's been done thousands of times, and has been occurring since 2017. And let me say, so I say avoid using easily phishable MFA. Most of the MFA can make small changes to reduce the problem. Like anytime I send you a reset code, it should say, this is from Google. You've requested an account password reset. Here's your reset code. If you did not request the account reset, don't type in this code to anybody.
Yeah.
Like it's not rocket science. It's like in a lot of cases, it is just small modifications to make it less phishable. In some cases, it might actually require a redesign. Like, I don't think that single factor push-based authentication should be allowed because it's just too easy to get people to say yes, even when they shouldn't. And we've already proven this. So it should require that the attacker know a PIN or a password or something before that sort of thing can happen. Single factor, we're moving to MFA, but I swear half the world's being faked into thinking that their single factor is MFA. Like on the other side are these USB keys you plug in. Just plug in the USB key and or push this button on the key and you're authenticated. Well, that is though. That's great. I love it. Guess what? It's 1FA. It's right. 1FA. And there was a study done by, I think it was Stanford University. I covered in my book, Hacking Multi-Factor Authentication, where they did a study. They handed out 100 of these keys where you plug it in and you push the little button on it and it authenticates you to Gmail. And they wanted to see how many people could use it correctly. They found out that 25% of the people, 25-30% of the people could not operate that successfully. They plugged it in upside down. Oh, they never got the software working. Oh, no. A lot of people, instead of pushing the button, swiped their fingerprint across it like it was a fingerprint reader, but still thought it was working. You know, so they found out that you have to be clear and educate people of what they're using. Yeah. And let me say, if that's not used correctly by 25% of the world, good luck with anything more complicated than plugging in a USB key. But the most amazing part of this study was when they got through, they told all the people, all 100 people, your gift for participating in this study is that you get to keep that USB key, that, you know, that what they called MFA, but it really is single factor. Mm-hmm. And, they called him back a month. They surveyed him a month after that and found out all 100 had stopped using it. Nobody. Oh. Well, you ready for this? It gets worse.
Oh, okay. I'm ready.
Some percentage of people, it was like 10%, gave that key to other people or put it in a grab box at their office, thinking that they were like USB memory keys.
That means
anybody picking up that key and plugging it in will be logged in as them.
Right.
Oh, I mean, so like it's just crazy. it's so my column this week was a big wake up call going, hey, we are trying to tell people go do. And it was funny when I was at that conference, a major vendor, the largest or second largest vendor in the world, had an executive in charge of their program say, listen, get on USB. I'm sorry. Get on MFA. Get on any MFA, even if it's weak. Get on weak MFA. Get on MFA. This is absolutely the wrong thing to be telling people, because the weak MFA is many times easier to hack than a password. This is the wrong messaging. And let me say, I was communicating this to one of the world's most respected security researchers. He's a guy that is a hero of mine. I really like him. And when I was recounting the story, he goes, I agree with it. You should get on any MFA, no matter what it is. And then I explained to him about how easy it was to hack some MFA. And he's like, well, that's a bad thing.
Oh, no.
You know, that's the problem. It's education. Like, even this world-respected 30-year computer security researcher is pushing this, you know, dribble that people should get on MFA no matter what MFA. And it's just wrong, and it's harmful to people to hear that message. And let me say, the U.S. government is saying, the U.S. government is trying to prohibit easily phishable MFA. And they actually define the types. The U.S. government is not a progressive front runner.
Right, right.
They are years behind the curve most of the time.
not here, I guess.
Yeah, well, they're reporting on historical evidence from watching spies break in for years.
Yeah.
They're not warning you about something in the future. They're not warning you about something that's happened this year. They're warning you about something after years of historical evidence.
Right.
And yet the largest organizations in the world are going, get on MFA, any MFA, weak MFA. And let me say, the executive that said that, I like them. I like them a lot. I like the vendor and what they're trying to do. I have nothing but, you know, admiration for everything they're doing and for the executive and how smart they are. It was just the wrong thing to say, because they don't understand how bad it is to say that. They themselves do not understand how easy it is to attack what they're pushing. And that's the problem.
That's fair. And such a, like, what an interesting, you know what this made me think of? It's not cybersecurity related, but in the 90s, we saw everywhere Plastics Make It Possible. That was a huge campaign, and we were just like pushing plastic on everyone all the time. And now we're in this terrible predicament where it's like,
We're killing turtles, and we're all eating 3 pounds. We're all eating three pounds of microplastics. Yeah, you know, I go to a store these days, and I'm like, what type of bag do you want? I'm like, well, the cloth bags apparently transmit E. coli.
Right.
The paper bags are made of trees, and the plastic never dies. I think you're telling me I have to carry it in my arms.
Right. I know. They're like, can I have a basket? I don't know, but that's wood too. No, there's no winning. There's no winning. But that's what I thought of, because it's like that, the way that the awareness play, that the marketing play, everything that's happening for MFA awareness is pushing us in that direction. And the weak MFA comment, I can't believe you didn't stand up and walk out. I picture you just getting so furious.
Like, well, you ready for this? So that was the keynote before I did my keynote. Then I get up and I do my keynote. I'm not sure how it's going over, but the host, and he is, hey, Roger, how you doing? We love you. Glad you're here. After I did my talk, he came up and you could see he was kind of apologetic. And he literally went, like Roger said, let's all get on MFA. Roger did not say that. Well, right. Roger did say we need to all use MFA, but I had a big qualifier. Let's use non-phishable MFA. But you could see that he was a little apologetic. There's some of the vendors were sitting there just kind of giving me the look. Although, you know, I will say some of the people from the vendors team came up to me and said, thank you so much for saying that.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, so there's hope. The problem is I'm just one voice.
Sure.
I'm not going to be able to compete against $100 million ad campaigns.
Yeah.
Get on MFA, get on MFA, get on MFA. And then when everybody's being hacked next year in the next 5 years,
They're
like, my God, you told me that if I got on MFA, I wouldn't get hacked. And I'm going to go, I wrote a book years ago about this.
Right.
I tried to warn people. And let me say this, I'm late to the game. The U.S. government was warning people years before me.
I was just about to say, the government even told you guys.
When the government is the one being the progressive warner, you're behind the times.
Yeah. That's a good gauge. I think that's healthy. I also just wanted to say, I really appreciated your hairnet comment. Although hairnets are plastic, aren't they?
Yeah. We need to make our hairnets out of real human hair.
Yeah. It's the only way. It's the only sustainable or horsehair or something.
I want my grocery bags to be made out of fruits and vegetables.
Yes.
That's the only safe thing. I'm scared for any other choice. I now go to the store with cargo pants and tell them to put everything in one of my pockets.
Like when you had to like flip your sweatshirt inside out, be like, just load me up. Just put
it's a lot of choices these days.
It's true. It's overwhelming. I think we have decision fatigue, which is also probably contributing to this. Like, just go to MFA. Like, there's too many options. Just do that one. That's a good one. Like, that's
I like new mothers. Like these days, do y'all go with the plastic ones or do you go with the cotton diapers?
Oh yeah,
because our mothers and fathers worked for 40 years to get us off the plastic diapers. Are off the cotton diapers, and now it's kind of back. The cotton diapers.
Yeah, I know, because it's eco-friendly compared to the plastics make it possible. So it's just utterly confusing. I don't know.
And then your kids one day are going to be told, you must do plastic diapers.
Right.
You know, you must do. It's terrible what it was. The cotton was doing terrible things to the ecosystem.
Right. Or we couldn't grow enough and there was, you know, whatever. The fertilizer that was needed leached into the water. Who knows? It's just not.
So let me say, everybody should use MFA, but I want to say that you should not use easily fishable MFA. If you do use whatever MFA you use, easily fishable or not, you should educate yourself to the different types of real world attacks that are being committed successfully against your type of solution. So as a sysadmin, as a buyer, as an implementer, as a cybersecurity person, educate yourself about the different techniques that are being used successfully against the MFA type of solution that you're considering or using. And if you're using one, make sure you educate everybody involved, all the stakeholders, management, the implementers, sysadmin, and especially the end users. Go, hey, these are the types of attacks that could successfully attack your MFA or bypass your MFA. Something simple as you need to pay attention to the link that you're clicking on, because if you click on the wrong link, you could be tricked into going to a fake website that looks like the website you think you're going to, and then they could trick you out of your MFA code. Like literally just 60 seconds of education could change the cybersecurity risk equation. And it's like we educate people when they get passwords. When we give you a password, they tell you you have to use passwords. Listen, don't use a password you've used before. Make sure you have a long, complex password. Make sure you don't use the password on some other website. Make sure it's not your name or your kid's name or your birthday. I mean, we literally educate people about using passwords. But with MFA, we're like, here, push approve to log in.
True, good point.
And we all of a sudden, we don't educate enough. We need to provide education with whatever type of authenticator you're using, because the human element, you know, is amazing what humans will do and approve if you don't educate them well enough.
I think that's a really good send off. I don't want to like ruin it. So yeah, Roger, I mean, I think this is really helpful. I think you've given people that actionable feedback and some really great things to think about. So as always, just thank you so much for coming on and lending us your brain. I just always enjoy it.
Thank you. Thanks. And thanks for everybody for listening to me as much as you listen to me.
Thanks, Roger. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Roger Grimes, data-driven defense evangelist for KnowBefore, the world's first and largest new school security awareness training and simulated phishing platform that helps you manage the ongoing problem of social engineering. To learn more about our sponsor, KnowBefore, visit knowbefore.com, and you can keep up with all of our media at cybercrimemagazine.com.